Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, this is a pretty big week in the world of professional bass fishing on the Fishing World's premier circuit. The final BassPro.com Bassmaster Open is being fished on Lay Lake in Alabama as we speak, where the final spots for the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic will be settled, save one from next week's team championship down at the Harris Chain. Plus, the final list of invitees will be settled upon as well for the Elite Series. Four from the Centrals, four from the Easterns, and four from the overall list will get invites when this all becomes a official. And we've already seen names like Greg Hackney and Jason Christie requalify. Justin Atkins as well, who has excelled in FLW, is in that position. And there will be some very familiar names joining the Bass roster. But first things first, let's get this open season wrapped up. In the meantime, we're going to take a look back at a couple of first-time winners on the Elite Series, Frank Talley and Lee Livesay, who won on the Tennessee River on Gunnersville and Chickamauga in October. We'll do a little winning ways look back with those guys. Then, Bass Director of Operation Eric Lopez is in with a rundown of the highly anticipated 2021 Elite Series schedule.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and now an opportunity to take a look at a couple of wins that happened along the Tennessee River. We're doing a little bit of radio winning ways, if you will. Rapala's winner circle with first Frank Talley, who got the win the first weekend of October at Gunnersville Lake. Frank, welcome back. How you doing, man?
Hey, thank you, Tom, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, how exciting. You know, you come to this a little bit later after raising your children, Destiny and little Frank, and you decide now, you know, I think you were around 45 or so when you said, okay, I'm going to make a run instead of just running around Texas winning tournaments. I'm going to make a run at the big time. And here you are 2 years into your Elite Tour season career, and you're lifting a blue trophy. That's something to say.
It's surreal, Tom. You know, I couldn't have scripted it any better. You know, I didn't. You know, you always go out every tournament that you fish, you go out to win. There's no doubt there. But there's some after a practice and stuff like that, you know, a so-so practice or a horrible practice, you're just like, just let me survive. Let me get through this with good points. Let me just make a cut and I'll be happy and get out of Dodge and move to the next one. You know, I mean, that's the reality of professional bass fishing. You don't go out there and catch them every tournament and every lake. So, you know, I just winning it after my second year on tour, I'm just ecstatic. I mean, it hasn't even really hit yet, you know, I'll be honest with you, because win Saturday, and then travel 8 hours Sunday to Santee Cooper, set up camp, so to speak, at the Airbnb, and then boom, the next morning at 5 o'clock, here it goes again.
Yeah.
Back to the grind.
And you have been on a roll this season, very, very consistent after a not a great tournament at the St. John's River, which was so weird. I mean, that with the weather delays and everything else, you came back and you have been making cuts every single week. You went up north, you made cuts, you made these 40 cuts, and now with this win, you moved to 26th in the AOI standings. Of course, you know the Classic is in your home state now of Texas, up there at Ray Roberts. When do you start kind of glancing at those points, even though you know you've got Santee Cooper, which you're fishing right now? You've got, of course, Chick coming up next week. You're going to Lake Fork for the big bass deal down there. How do you kind of keep your eye on the ball and not look at those points?
Well, I know I have to finish hard because, I mean, with this, the way the season has went with the virus. So I'm just like, I got to put my head down. My goal was on this three tournament swing, Gunnersville, Santee, and Chick. I just wanted to make the cut in all three of them. And that would put me in a position to where technically I would just have to catch one fish at Fork to qualify for the Classic, because that's been the standing thing all year. Like I told Mercer the first tournament of the year, I said, the Classic's in Texas, and that's where the tank needs to be, because that's his home state, and my family's there, and 2.5 hours up the road. I mean, what better thing to do than to celebrate a 2020 season with a Classic berth? It would be awesome.
So you're fishing a minimum of 3 days every week, and of course four this past week to get the championship. Now, I'm a big guy myself, not quite as big as the tank, but I'm up in there in the high 240s right now. How do you do it? I know you lost weight, and how is it for you to hold up conditioning wise when you're going, three straight weeks like this?
I just make sure that I take care of myself, before and after practice. And what I mean by that is I drink lots of water throughout the day. I drink 2 or 3 bottles of water once I get back to the hotel or to the Airbnb. I don't try to eat any fried food on the road. I just try to cook, pork chops, chicken, even steak. I mean, it's, anything like that, any kind of protein, and just a lot of fluids. And I just don't do the stuff that got me to be a big guy. So yeah, no fatty foods, no fried foods and stuff on the road. Don't get me wrong, I still partake in those delicious little morsels every now and then, but on the road, I know it's going to be a grind, and hopefully I get to fish 21 straight days. So, with that being said, it's tough on your body, your back, your legs, no doubt. And I'm not a spring chicken anyways. Even if I was, 180 pounds, it would still be tough at 45 years old, but I'm hanging in there good. I don't have any aches or pains. No problems. I mean, I got a little bit of sinus stuff going, but that's just because of all these this pollen and these trees and stuff. But other than that, I'm always fresh. God has really made me a showcase of a big guy that can physically handle it. I don't know the exact answer for it, but I have been blessed. I don't have any ailments, that's for sure.
There you go. You've been blessed. I mean, that's a good answer right there. Frank Talley with us, coming off his win in the Noco Bassmaster Elite at Gunnersville. Now, a lot of us that live in that region, I live near Gunnersville, we knew that this would be kind of tough because it was like the first cold snap. And we try to tell people that, look, it's not that the lake, sucks in October. It's just that the very first cold snap, there's a kind of an acclimation period that goes on. And I personally think that if you went out on that lake next week and, now that this weather is kind of stabilized, you might have to go back. You might have to have 80 pounds to win a fall deal there. But, you kind of got stronger as the week went on. What was your thought process about that as far as how the fish were reacting?
You're exactly right. It did get better as the week went on. My bites went up. I think the first day I had 8 bites in the tournament. The second day I had 9 or 10. Third day I had 15. My marshal said that I landed, keeper bites. And then on the last day I had 19. So, and the bigger fish started coming the last 2 days of the tournament. And I think it had to do with a culmination of a couple of things. One was the moon phase. It was coming up on a full moon, and So those fish, if you didn't get a few bites first thing in the morning, the first hour of competition, then you had to wait till about an 11 o'clock window. And then from 11 to about 1:30, they fired really good again. So you had that lull in between, and that's just basically full moon fishing in any time other than the spring. You know, the spring, you can usually catch them all day long, but in the fall, summer, winter, it's tough because they feed all night, you know, and then they'll take a lax, some time off during the mid-morning, and then they'll fire back up in the afternoon. So, you know, that was my game plan. I knew that the weather, I thought the fishing was going to be better than it was, you know, in practice, and it wasn't. So I was like a little concerned, but I just decided, you know what, I've got to do something different because I'm not catching anything that's going to help me in the tournament. So that last day of practice, I moved up into the river and I had about 2 hours left of practice, and I had like three bites, and one was like a 3.5 pounder. And I'm like, that's more bites in a 2 hour window than I've had in a 12 hour practice day the previous 3 days. So that I just went with that gut and just stayed up there the whole tournament, and it just worked out. It kept getting better and better.
Yeah, Striking Pro Frank Talley with us here talking about his win at Gunnersville. And it didn't seem like you were as much spot-oriented as you were pattern-oriented. I mean, you know, you have your practice time. Obviously, you're looking for things that are working. But, you know, especially on that final day, and I know you went to different water almost every day, all 4 days. But that last day, you're like, yeah, this looks good here. I think I'm just going to fish this a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did, Tom. You know, It was a pattern. It wasn't, the spot didn't matter because it was all about the eelgrass, and that eelgrass wall is what ended up being the big contributor to the wind. I mean, it's just, and that whole river was lined with it. And so what I would do is I'd just drop the trolling motor down, and I'd have the confidence that I was eventually going to run into them. So I would, you know, of course, position the boat into the current, and I just move up the bank pretty steady. Casting parallel to that eelgrass edge, and then I'd eventually run into them. It might be 20 minutes before I get my first bite, or it might be 5 minutes before I get my first bite. But once I got my first bite, there usually be two or three in that stretch of about 30 or 40 yards. And then I'd mop those up, go 20 minutes without a bite, and then I'd fire the big motor up, move up a quarter mile, and redo again, you know. So I didn't have to fish hardly any of the same water all 4 days. And that's what really helped me too. It's just fishing fresh, clean water, and nobody else was doing it to speak of. I think there was a few guys doing it, but they weren't doing what I was doing. I think they were more just worming the edge of the eelgrass, and I was, you know, fishing a reaction bait in that current, and you know, that Strike King Thunder Cricket, and then it's like the fish had never seen it before, and it was crazy. It was good fishing.
How about that? That was Frank Talley coming off his win at Gunnersville. I really like that guy, and I think he's going to be around for a minute. All right, we're going to get a break in here. When we come back, what was it like for Lee Livesey to get the win at a very tough tournament at Chickamauga? We'll have that winner circle next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. All right, we're going to jump from Gunnersville to Chickamauga. All right, we're going to go up a couple of lakes on the Tennessee River, and I'm going to skip right over Brandon Polinick because I kind of wanted to feature a couple of first-time winners in Frank Talley and now Lee Livesey, who got the job done at Chick. Lee, congratulations. Welcome in.
What's going on? I'm good.
You know, one of the ironic things is, some people don't know this, but you win an elite event, it doesn't get you in the Classic. You've got to finish in those top 40 in the points, or, you know, there'll be a couple of spots that open up down, it might go down to 42 or 43, but you have to be up there in the points. You win an Open, and you're in, you know, and so that's kind of a weird thing. So this becomes a very big week for you, and the last one will be a very big week for you as well. And back at Lewisburg, and then of course you've got one more elite event that does carry with it a seat at the Classic, of course, at Lake Fork. So, you know, but it's kind of a different deal.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that I've had just a terrible year as far as points go with some bad days, and now here I am at the end of the season. I have three opportunities to make the Classic still, and one of them's on my home lake. So there's still hope, and confidence is high.
Yeah, well, the confidence should be high. You got it done in Dayton. How did you feel going in to that after practice? Were you one of the guys that felt like you might have been on to something because you stuck with that frog in no, I mean, if it was a wet diaper, you were casting into it. I mean, it was amazing how shallow the water was that you were fishing in. But it was this was you were going to live and die on that hill?
Well, I actually I weighed three fish in the first day on a jig fishing bluffs. And two on, but I caught them all by 1 o'clock, and then I went practicing, and I had a whole bunch more frog bites that I shook off that afternoon the first day. So the second day I started with the frog and just obliterated them and was done by like 9 o'clock, and then practiced the rest of that day and shook a bunch off. So, I mean, my confidence was high. Then I caught everything I could pretty much the third day and quit at 1 o'clock because I knew I had enough, and then just caught everything I could the last day. So it was – I wasn't full in on the frog at first. It took that that second morning. I had a bunch of bites right off the bat when it was really cold, and I knew when they did that it was never coming out of my hand again. So I actually did weigh three fish in the first day on a jig fishing bluffs.
Yeah, and of course we saw, you know, the obviously the big fish that Mike Huff caught doing that off the bluff on Championship Sunday. We had that 7.5-pounder there, and that was very, very exciting, and it tightened things up in a big way. Of course, you don't know that as it's going on, and it was so interesting, you know, listening to you kind of dissect the fact that, you know, Mike was on his way back early, and wait a minute, Davey was with him. Why was Davey with him? He must have slammed them. And I was laughing, and we're all watching this, and we're like, kind of knew that you had this thing under control, especially when you got that one big frog bite. But it a million things going through your mind probably as you're watching this thing.
Oh, no doubt. As an angler, you always think you're behind. You're always fishing like you're behind, and it's just one of those deals running through your head, you know.
Yeah.
And on the other brain, I'm thinking I got it when I catch that big one, but you always want one more.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And you were tearing them up with that scum frog. You were talking about, you know, that's not the fish I saw over there, or that's not the one. This was very specific. Talk about that, how you actually knew, you know, I'm targeting this particular fish, and then you would catch one and say, well, no, that wasn't the one that I saw before. How would you know? How specific was it that those fish were parked in certain spots in that juice, if you will?
Yeah, there were certain little algae mats inside the cheese mats with the hydrilla, but I would see the fish sometimes, you know, I'd have one miss it. You know, I could tell it was a 2-pounder or a 5-pounder, or this one was really black, or, you know, that one was a little bit wider. And, you know, I could see them. It was so shallow when they'd come out of the water. So I could see different fish move, and I could tell, you really couldn't tell the camera, but I can see in the mats, like, you know, where what fish blew up, and, you know, one might bite it 5 foot to the left, and I'm like, no, that's not the same fish, you know? Mm. So it was just, the deals were, even like the big fish I catch the final day, that's the first frog bite I had the whole practice. I shook that fish off the first thing, the first morning of the first day of practice.
It was the same, you think it's the same fish. That is so cool. So they don't move very much under that mat, is what you're saying. You got to be very precise, because I know in your casting, you would say, oh, missed it, a foot to the left, you know, and it seemed like they're just sitting in a particular spot. They're not cruising much, it doesn't seem like, underneath those mats.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're moving around a little bit, but they have a home, and they want to be protected underneath that mat, and that's where they're eating, and I don't think they're going far. You know, they got a little radius of where they're eating. They have everything they need, and then they don't go far for sure.
Talk about the scum frog, first of all, because it's got that little keel going on there, and it seemed like, you know, that was one of the advantages. We'll talk about the little hack that you did, which is really, really cool, in a moment. But just talk about the scum frog and what makes that thing a little different.
That launch frog, just it's a tungsten frog. I can throw it a little bit further. It's a little bit larger profile, got a really good hook in it, and it just, you know, it's one of their newer frogs. It's actually a 3/4-ounce frog, and I can throw it real far, and it sits down on the mat. And, you know, that little addition I was doing at in the weights just helped me keep that frog down on the mat even better.
Now, is this something that, you know, a Lee Livesey thing? Or how long have you known about this? And is it a common trick, if you will, for pros out there to add drop shot weights, tungsten drop shot weights, to the inside of the frog? Because I'll be honest with you, I've been around a minute, been fishing a long time, and I really hadn't heard of that before. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I don't know anything.
There's a lot of guys out there that weight their frogs when they're fishing really thick mats. it's just a mat deal. You know, if you put that frog in any kind of open water with lily pads or gator grass, thing, it'll sink like a rock. But the guys that frog the real heavy matted vegetation, a bunch of guys do it for sure.
Yeah, I tried it during the week after earlier this week. After, you know, you had done it, I said, well, I got to try that. And the one thing that struck me, first of all, was I could cast it a country mile. I mean, it was unbelievable how far you could make a cast. But you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. I had to move it really fast because I didn't have that real thick matted stuff. I had hydraulic kind of laid over on the top. And every time it hit any kind of a pocket, that thing would sink like a stone, man. It would go right to the bottom. Like, okay, this isn't for this application. This is for, I mean, it's got to be heavy enough mat to hold the, you know, to hold a bait that weighs almost an ounce, you know, altogether up on top of it.
Yeah, that stuff I was fishing was really thick, as you could see from the videos, and it's just one of those deals. It's just for that, you know, so don't weight your frogs until you're ready to fish a mat, because you can't get your weights out.
No, you can't. You can't get them out. And those tungsten drop shot weights aren't exactly cheap. Lee Livesey with us here talking about his win at Chickamauga. He can afford a few more, though, after he lifted the $100,000 check along with the, well, I guess they don't do the big check anymore, but he did get the big trophy. I mean, that is really a cool thing for sure. The other thing that we noticed as you were fishing it was you'd be moving along pretty good, and then you'd hit a green spot of that greener cheese that was sitting up on top, almost chartreuse looking stuff, and then all of a sudden you would stop and slow it down. What was it that let you knew, or is that just from experience, that was the stuff, those were the spots in the mats that were going to be the most productive?
Yeah, those are actually algae mats on top of the hydrilla, and it's just it's just an extra layer of mat for that fish to hide under. You know, they like to be in the dark or the shade, and they like to be able to hide from their prey, and that extra little piece of canopy right there just thins out the hydrilla underneath them too, so they can get to your bait easier, and they can move around a little bit easier too. It's just a little sweet spot inside the mat.
Yeah, and that extra weight in the frog, it makes perfect sense that it would help your hookup ratio as well, because the fish isn't going to blow the frog away so much when they explode on it. But give us your technique on that in terms of, you know, when you go ahead and set the hook. I mean, how long do you wait to make sure you feel that weight before you go ahead and bury the hook?
Honestly, I don't wait that long. Those fish are so smart there. If you let them eat it more than 3 seconds, they're about to spit it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they either miss it or they eat it. They have it when they hit it there. You know, I lost one fish in 4 days of competition. I only lost one fish out of all those frog fish. That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And a lot of that's having to do with that, not just the frog, but that rod I was throwing, that 7-8. Or actually a 7-9 extra heavy Halo KS2 Elite, and pulling those fish out of the mats was key. That rod was huge.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't pulling just the fish out of the mats. You were pulling 3 pounds of grass out of the mats as well, and you could tell that rod, your line, everything was holding up really, really well for you in those cases. Now, I had somebody ask me this that was watching with me on Sunday, and they said, how come he just fishes the first, you know, 15 or 20 yards of the cast, and then he's bringing it back fast all the way across the rest of the mat? Why not fish it all the way back to the boat? What is the mindset on that? They were just in that really, really shallow water, or you were just fishing the furthest portion of the mat, it seemed like?
I was always trying to fish as far away from the boat as I could. I felt like those fish are just so pressured and so smart, they weren't going to be active within, a 40-foot radius of my boat. They can just feel the boat there. They can feel me moving around. They can feel me casting. I was trying to stay as far away from my small targets as I could and cast to them, and didn't want to waste any time in between.
Apparently, the battery of champions is Impulse Lithium. Bill Weidler's company, he won, and then Tank wins a couple of weeks ago. He's running, Frank the Tank's running the Lithium Impulse. And you run the Lithium Impulse, and you win. I mean, that's amazing. Three pros that are on that pro staff, and all three of you raised blue trophies this season. I mean, that's just nuts.
It is kind of crazy and insane. And obviously, I joked about it after those two. You know, Bill won his first, and then Frank won his second. And I said, oh, my gosh, on that third day.
Yeah, you're the only dude that had won.
We had it. Repeat, and Caleb Summerall was sitting beside me, and he said, man, I need about 40 of them batteries real quick. I'm joking. obviously, but I don't know what they're putting in those batteries, but I'm going to keep running them.
Batteries of champions, that's for sure. Lee Livesey has been our guest. Lee, good luck the rest of the way. We appreciate you, and who knows, maybe we'll be talking again.
I hope we do, man. Thank you.
Lee Livesey, another first-time winner on the tour this past season.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, well, earlier this week, the announcement came out just a couple of days ago, and now here we have it. We have a 2021 Bassmaster Elite Series schedule, and who better to talk about it than Eric Lopez, and he joins us from Bass right now. Eric, welcome back to the show. We just talked a few weeks ago, but it's great to have you back, and it's great to have a schedule now in front of us.
Well, you're telling me. Thanks. Thanks for having me back. I love being here and chatting with you. But yeah, we're really excited about releasing the schedule and finally making it public.
Yeah. And making it public, I think, is a key thing. Let's get this out of the way right off the bat, because I know a lot of guys at fish tournaments are out there saying, well, how could these guys, you know, they need to make all their travel arrangements and their housing arrangements and everything else. You guys had discussed, had that open discussion with the anglers. They kind of knew where they were going the first few weeks. They've known that for a few weeks so that they could make their housing arrangements and so on, just not to the public in terms of until the entire schedule was ready. Is that correct?
That's definitely correct. So, yeah, the first few events, we let them know, and we asked them to keep it confidential. But you're absolutely right. There is a lot of planning that goes on to not just moving all of us, the Bass folks, around, but all the anglers, and a lot of them travel with their families. So they were definitely aware of that. And then it was public that we had two events that were going to be rescheduled from 21 with the event on the Sabine in Orange and on the St. Lawrence in Waddington. So they were aware of that as well. So it helped with the planning a little bit. But yeah, as far as the rest of the cities, that just became public this past week.
All right. And so another thing, we went through a stretch of time, especially when the Classics were in February, where we had the Classic kind of kicked off the season. And then recently there's been one or even two events. It's been two events for the last few years. So the Classic is March 19th through the 21st. We've known about that, the Academy Sports and Outdoors Classic, Bassmaster Classic, on Lake Ray Roberts in Fort Worth. Was there ever a time when you thought we might start after that just because of the quick turnaround? You've got guys, as we speak right now, they're fishing the championship of the Open down at Lay Lake. So we don't even have the full field set yet for not only the Elites but for the Classic, and this is going to be a really quick turnaround. Was there ever a point in time you thought maybe not February, maybe we start in March?
You know, to be honest, not really. I mean, in theory, it sounds like that would be better. But when you take a look at all the events that we have to plan, because again, we're not scheduling on top of the other circuits that we have, the Opens, and we try to stay away from the nascent events as well. So it's a lot of events that we're planning. And of course, we want to be out there on the bodies of water at the best time of year. So in order to be somewhere in the spring, we have to start in other locations much, much earlier in January or February. You know, some of our Opens start in January. We're starting again up in February in Florida in a warmer weather location. But a lot of people think, you know, it's just 9 elites. Why does it take so long? But it's a scheduling behemoth when you take a look at all the other events that we're trying to make this work with. So that's the main reason why it really works well when you step back and take a look at the entire picture to get a couple events in prior to the Classic.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at the nuts and bolts of this thing. February 11th through the 14th, the AFCO Bassmaster Elite at the St. Johns River in Palatka, Florida. I don't know, 3-4 out of the last 5 years, something like that, maybe in Palatka. We know that there was a 3-year deal that was done at one point with the St. Lawrence River out of Waddington, and we'll get to that in a minute. Is there a situation like that with the folks in Palatka, or is it just a great spot to start? We know it's a great spot to start. Is it just kind of working out organically that way, that seems like we're starting at the St. John's every year?
You know, we never really comment too much on the overall deals with the cities at the request of the city. Some cities are more comfortable, but I will say Palatka and the St. John's, it's a great spot to be. They are a great partner. They've made it known that before any other event goes there. They want to have a bass event. And we take a look at that. When an event is done, we take a look at it with the city, with the anglers. If it made sense for all parties, we're like, you know, let's visit it again. There are definitely a lot of people who are like, you know what? What if we just kind of get on the same rotation with a handful of cities and go back? But then there, obviously we want to introduce new cities. But you know, this year we're still planning in the middle of a pandemic. It's unfortunately it's not done. Yes, there are a lot of, and you'll see the theme, there are a lot of cities that we've been to that we're going to again, but we're standing by our strongest partners, some of our strongest partners, and they're standing by us. We're like, you know what, we recognize this is a challenging year, but we will always have a place for bass, and that's what Palatka told us, and they love being that kickoff event, and heck, the weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's February, and it's going to be 70 degrees.
Yeah, it'll be a little better even, you know, more stable weather in February than in some of the January starts sometimes there. So it should be a good deal there. So then bundle up a little bit because then you come up to Tennessee, February 25th through the 28th, the Tennessee River out of Knoxville. This was the home of one of the most historic classics in terms of crowds. It was an incredible deal. Will it be going out of the downtown Knoxville area again near the Vol Navy right down there, or will it be out of a different area? So it's right in that same spot.
No, we're going to do it out of Vol Landing there. You know, we had an elite there prior to the classic.
Right.
It was a great event. Then we had the classic, which, like you said, was amazing. The visuals and everyone standing there at Vol Landing, which is right next to downtown, if people aren't familiar with the geography there. We love that area. Yes, it's going to be chilly, but people will have the ability to walk right from their offices, right from work to the weigh-in location. And it's just a great spot to be in. And it's an awesome city. We love it. Again, they're a wonderful partner to work with. And they were really excited about being able to host another event with us. And we're like, yeah, of course, let's do it.
Yeah, great stuff. All right, so then after the classic, the Texas Swing, I love the way you guys work this out in terms of, I think it's as convenient as possible for the anglers. The Texas Swing starts at the Sabine River. That event did not go this past year because of COVID. Orange, Texas, great bass fishing fans there. We have an affiliate in Orange, Texas listening to us here. And to go to the Sabine River, and this is a tournament that could be a game changer. This is the one sometimes that impacts the way this AOI will look at the end of the year. Good, though, to be going back to the Sabine.
Oh, we're excited about it. When we looked at it this year, there was a way to make it happen. But talking to the folks at Orange, you know, Orange is one of the cities that at times holds the record for the most attended elite event that we've had. And they wanted to be able to do that. So it made sense from their side and for our side to say, hey, you know what? Let's wait until the country gets better and we can have an event that Orange is used to. From a fishing standpoint, there's going to be, which we, you know, to be honest, it's interesting. And we're okay with it. There's going to be people who are going to be moaning and groaning. But again, these are the best anglers in the world. And we like switching it up. We like throwing challenges at the anglers and we like to see what's going to happen. And Orange is a place where anglers have to prove themselves and fans like to see that. I mean, yes, we want to take anglers to the best bodies of water, but we want to give them different types of competition. And this definitely adds diversity to the schedule.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And then, off to the Big Bass Factory that is Lake Fork, April 22nd through 25th. We're going to see multiple 100-pound weights in that one. That's going to be incredible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, that's one of those. We want to hit it at the right time of year. And that's what really affected us this past year with COVID. We were fishing great bodies of water, but not necessarily at the right time. So we feel we owe it to the anglers, to the fans, to be able to see that, to Lake Fork. They're great as well to work with, to be able to just see those hogs being caught.
Yeah, and then the Alabama Swing. And this is very, very exciting. May 6th through 9th, Neely Henry Lake. Great spotted bass down there out of Gadsden, Alabama. And from there, Gunnersville, and then Pickwick. And we haven't seen Pickwick in a little bit. We've seen it some of the other events, some of the college and the nation events and things like that. But Pickwick, we just saw an incredible deal there in the nation championship not too long ago. That Alabama Swing is going to be really good and, again, really convenient for the anglers.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, logistics definitely plays a part. I mean, you have to think about how challenging it is to get everything across the country. So we try to keep that in mind as well and are sensitive to that. So that one's going to be for some of the anglers. I mean, you know, we have some anglers that are coming from the furthest corners of the country where, sure, where they still have to make up the long haul. So we're aware of that. But yeah, we're excited about going to Gets and Neely Henry. That's a new spot for the Elite Series. We've never brought the event there, and we have been talking to them for several years. So we're glad that we're going to be able to make it, and hopefully things will be back to normal. And then Pickwick, yeah, I think we were at Pickwick for an Elite maybe about 5 or 6 years ago,
yeah,
and it's been a long time. So to have an Elite there again at that time of year is going to be awesome.
And then the Northern Swing to New York, Vermont, with Lake Champlain, July 8th through the 11th, and then backing that right up with the St. Lawrence River back in Waddington. I assume Lake Ontario will be off limits, and this will be back to being a river tournament. But again, yep, back-to-back great events there. Waddington always creates a huge, huge crowd of people. Hopefully we'll be well past COVID at that point in time, and people will be able to come out and see it. And like you said, it's mid-July, and the Elite Series is in the hopper. We have an AOI. We have a field. We have all of those things taken care of, and God forbid we have to delay event here or there. Now you still got all summer long to get that done.
Absolutely. We had to keep that in mind. And that's one of the things that we know we're getting questions on, which is very fair. But life is not going to go back to normal immediately. We have to plan for at least next year for some contingencies. You know, we have this huge Fox television deal that we're very excited about as well, with the 6 hours of live coverage per event. So we have to keep that in mind. And if one of these events needs to be rescheduled, we need to make sure we have the ability to give ourselves and the anglers enough time to do it. So that's why we're leaving the month of August in order to have that kind of wiggle room, if you will. And also, again, like I said at the beginning, we have a lot of other events that we're scheduling. You know, there's a lot of elites that are competing in the Opens, and the Opens will keep going. And so people have the opportunity to see their favorite angler compete. But yeah, next year is going to be that kind of transitional year back to normalcy. And we needed to have that from the TV standpoint to let anglers know how to plan. So we don't want to be fishing into November. We were able to get it done this year, but we wanted to make sure we don't end up in that situation again.
Eric Lopez with us from Bass. Yeah, we were all like, oh, this is so cool, fall fishing. Oh, we're going to test it. Yeah, not so much. As a fisherman myself, yeah, you know what? Not so much. All right, the fall, I mean, it was neat, but it's tough, man. It's tough in the fall. I mean, we saw things that we would have never thought we would see in the fall. So this schedule sets up really, really well. Open schedules will be coming. I feel when I look at this that there's a possibility that there could be some open activity after this, you know, as well, that there's some room in the schedule that maybe there'll be some later opens. Maybe I'm misreading that. There's not a lot of gaps in here to put Central in Eastern Opens in there.
More to come on the Opens, but yeah, more to come on that shortly.
Yeah, so we'll it'll be great to see the open schedule. You touched on the Fox deal. We had CEO Bruce Aiken on a couple of weeks ago talking about that. What a tremendous opportunity that will be for all of the anglers to excuse me, to showcase, you know, their sponsors and their talents, and it's going to be tremendous. And then I guess the next thing is we'll learn in the not too distant future what that elite field will look like, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's the last piece of the puzzle that we need complete.
Yeah, and it will get completed certainly with this event down at Lay Lake as well. Well, I know you were down there earlier in the week. I hope you stayed dry and semi-warm. I hope you found a fire or someplace to get next to. And I had to miss the event. I had to miss the event myself, but I got to be honest with you. Back on Thursday morning when it was 31 degrees, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I dodged a little bit of a bullet on this one. I'm not sure.
Did I really miss it?
Yeah. Eric Lopez has been our guest. Elo, I appreciate you so much. Great schedule. Congratulations on it, and we'll look forward to chatting again down the road.
Thank you. Take care, Tom.
All right, thank you. All right, so there you have it. There is the schedule. It's posted. Just go to Bassmaster.com, and you can learn more about it. This is tremendous. All right, we'll get a break in here and come back with more right after this and wrap it up. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Sports Bassmaster Radio. And as we out of the show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. It's time for another great sweepstakes giveaway from your friends at Bassmaster. Just visit Bassmaster.com and click on sweepstakes for a chance to win in the Bassmaster Weekly Winner Giveaway. One winner each week through January 29, 2021 will win a $1,000 Bass Pro Shops gift card, and you can enter daily for your chance to win. Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for details and to enter. Now is also time to make plans to be at the best 3 days in bass fishing, March 19th through the 21st at the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic in Fort Worth, Texas. Watch the anglers take off at Ray Roberts State Park in Pilot Point, then head to Fort Worth to check out the huge expo featuring the latest in outdoor fishing gear at Will Rogers Memorial Center and experience the exciting weigh-in shows at the Dickies Arena. It's fun for the whole family. Meet Bassmaster pros, win prizes, and, well, there'll be plenty of activities for the kids. And all events are free. Find the details at Bassmaster.com. It's also a great time to join a Bass Nation Club or to form one if there is not one in your area. Bass Nation anglers around the country compete on the local level and all have a chance to advance to the Elite Series and even the Bassmaster Classic. Brandon Polinick, for example, is a former nation champion who went on to win Angler of the Year. Paul Mueller is another nation alum, and he has won twice already on the Elite Series. For more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Only one event left on this season's schedule, and it's the Bassmaster Team Championship at the Harris Chain next weekend, and that will crown the final spot in the Bassmaster Classic. However, we have in our hands the fresh 2021 Bassmaster Elite Series schedule. It will get started February 11th through the 14th at the AFCO Bassmaster Elite on the St. Johns River, then February 25th through the 28th on the Tennessee River out of Knoxville. Of course, then the Classic March 19th through the 21st, and then April 8th through the 11th, the Sabine River at Orange, Texas, as we'll stay in Texas for a couple of more tournaments. April 22nd through the 25th, Texas Fest at Lake Fork in Emory, Texas. Then the Alabama run starts. That's right. It'll be May 6th through the 9th at Neely Henry Lake in Gadsden, May 20th through the 23rd at Gunnersville, and then June 10th through the 13th at Pickwick out of Florence, Alabama. Finally, the New York run in July, July 8th through the 11th at Lake Champlain, and July 15th through the 18th at the St. Lawrence River. It's going to be great. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.